say Mother's opening prayer. Will you pray with me? O Heavenly Father, Divine Mother,
Beloved Jesus Christ,
Blessed Master,
Dearest Mother,
Beloved
David,
Saints and Sages of all religions,
Saints and Sages of all religions, I bow to all of you.
Free my life from all obstacles.
Free my life from all obstacles.
And give me physical, mental, and spiritual development. Make my mind thy temple. Make my heart thy altar. Make my love thy home. Be thou the only king. Reigning on the throne of my consciousness. Peace. Bliss. Amen. We all listen to a short piece while we meditate for a few minutes.
Spirit with spirit commune, and life has become divine. World and all that is seen and unseen is pervaded with one power and light. While in and out there is none but that. What to say, how to say, I wonder. Words are very pearls of truth. Thoughts are but twinkling stars that wink and gaze into infinity. to thee thyself, thy supplicant thyself, thy God. Om Shri Ram Jai Ram Jai Jai Ram. 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 Om Shri Ram Jai.
I got into a discussion with a Christian friend of mine today, and he brought this passage from 2 Timothy chapter 3 up. And this was with a larger group. And several of them are basically serious atheists, but reasonable people. They can talk about this kind of stuff. And they make fun of him. He takes it really well, and he makes fun of them. It goes well. He brings this up. He says, I don't do this very often, but I just think you should know this today. And so it's probably been 6 months since he's even talked this way. And it had to do with the conversation that was going on beforehand, so it was apropos. So this is beginning with verse 1. So 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof from such turn away. And from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses starting with verse 16 through 18. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. So, the first is a warning, and the second is a hope, an article of hope and faith, that you will be amongst the ones saved. Now we know this to be that which the soul goes through, which the person goes through, that time when he or she breaks from the physical and the astral and the causal even. The last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. So what's all the negative things? And then having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. So,
can you read that part again, Larry? The form of God within, or
Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Not true believers in that case, is it? Having the form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Not really believing that power comes from that knowledge, that walking with godliness. Well, it's easy to see how Mother would interpret this. This is to do with what you go through as the ego finally has its complete last stand. The Thessalonians is pretty nice. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. By the way, that's used several times. Trump, it's a shortened form of trumpet, it says. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. And you know, it's so much the experience of all people who are lifted up in this way. It's called lifted up for a reason. You feel as though you're being drawn up into the air. Your body and your soul feel light. So I think I'd rather hear from some of you about how to resolve this and to be respectful of the Bible in the higher meaning, and yet see how it's used improperly by people who want to insist that you better get right with God or you're going to go to hell, but you're going to be known by these traits of
I don't know that that's such a bad thing.
Mm-hmm. What's that?
You know, that's what's being sold to people. That you better get right with God or you're going to hell.
Yeah, good point. Of course that's true.
For folks who aren't at the final mile, there's worse things that they could be.
Yeah. Yes, in fact, it's only got problems when it says only... You know, we are the only ones who get to interpret this.
Yeah.
And come up with the explanations.
Yeah. The difficulty is when people who shouldn't be listening are.
Yeah. But also these ways of dealing with this is though, where there's only one lifetime and we've all been set a test to us. And we have to make it through this test, and then we're going to go to heaven. It's really, in a way, once you start thinking in reincarnational terms and in the broad sweep of time, you just don't want that kind of a heaven. You don't want that way of entering into it. This is the only way. And it wasn't possible until Jesus came. All that business. So very limiting. Logically and, yeah. But for many people, these are better things to do with their time. And they do live, and many people live a righteous life following this. So you're right about that. And a much improved life.
When people get a hold of it and use it to gain power and to gain, that's yeah. doing that themselves and their souls great disservice.
And using it as a way of looking down on people That's,
yeah.
That's sad. In some sense, that's a natural condition to say that, oh, you should all believe like I do. But the positive side is that they think they have something wonderful, and they do to a great extent, and they want to share it. It's only the negative side that is used improperly.
Yeah.
And we feel that we have something wonderful, and we're itching to share it too. It's
right.
A funny thing.
Right.
You know, here's an example. Today was my youngest brother's birthday, and so I sent him a note, and I ended it by quoting Mother, and I said, to quote my holy teacher, because I can't use the word guru, it's just too foreign. He's a Christian. And I just said, you know, may God pour his richest blessings upon you. Mother used to say that.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't refer to that at all. And there's always a separation, and there doesn't have to be. You know, sometimes you feel like you can't even agree on, we love the same God.
Right. Oh, yes, exactly. In fact,
it's a funny thing.
But, well, and people pray to God against people, as Mother experienced.
Yeah.
She had a really tough time of it with the people in Denver. Yeah.
It's a toughie. And I think what makes it, what gives them more power in a way is that they have a big backing.
Yeah, they've got...
We don't seem to. You know?
But
we would never change. We're so thrilled with where we are.
Well, we know the world they're talking about too. So we're not doing it just out of nowhere. We see the universal side, and that's what we claim in an intellectual sense, in a logical sense, is how we can see beyond what they're saying and not get too upset. But of course, this stuff can get personal very, very easily. And that's sad, but it's also the way of the human being, so I don't worry too much about that. But, when it causes major fractures in families, you know, Jesus made it pretty clear that you should go with God. Who is my family? Who is my mother? Who are my brothers? So, but at the same time, we have to be respectful of other people. Doesn't give us the right to assume anything other than what we've been taught. And we have not been taught that we're more correct than others, in the sense that they have a pathway to God that is their own one, and we have no business damaging them or causing them to fall from that path in any way. We need to support them. That's the tough balance, because they won't reciprocate. That's the difference between a universal view. Now, of course, they think the universal view is just no rules apply at all. It's just a free-for-all.
I think of when Jesus said, and this is what I always have in the back of my mind as a response to, I have two born-again Christian brothers, and I would love to just say, you know, you neither know me nor my Father. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. It's like, you know, it's the same guy. I mean, it's the same energy. It's the same source.
Yeah.
But it's not worth it, you know.
Well, and it can be damaging to them too. So.
Yeah. And they live good lives. They're both, right. You know, they're good people, really good people.
Right.
So, anyways.
You know, ultimately, too, the highest path is a very lonely path, so we shouldn't be surprised that this one is going to be a smaller set of people involved. But there's many souls on the earth right now who would benefit from these teachings. And they're having things and problems and misunderstandings and confusions right now. And this universal vision, this comparison of the Eastern teachings with the Western and with the Christian teachings, it's invaluable to go through this. But, you know, the people who don't have this, there's a reason for it. It's that we also have an explanation for that in terms of karma. So, yes, and to the extent that this becomes too intellectual, that's always a problem for all of us. It really is. It should be more, I think, with people where intellectually you're not able to make contact or make any progress. You just have to, sometimes you have to just withdraw, but other times you just have to suffer through it.
Or be such a radiant light that they they see God shining through you.
Yeah. The thing about...
For those with eyes to see.
Right, definitely that. And but you can't have a goal to be a radiant light so much as it is that it is the fruit of... The goal should be to gain knowledge of God. And we're assured that that state makes a person radiant. So, you know, to be a good example.
Yeah. My point is that we can't bring people over to this team until they can see that it's worth it coming.
Right.
And the only way to do that is to raise our God realization.
Right.
I'm thinking of a few instances right now. Well, Larry, just to preface it with saying that back when Mother's daughter Barbara was going through the difficulties with the very evangelical Christians, fundamentalists who ended up really persecuting her and coming in to burn the books of mothers and burn the other masters' books and things like that. And it was kind of hard to believe because we didn't know any people like that. And then we felt so drawn to much of the Christian world in the last number of years. And so it has been kind of hard to understand that and believe that there actually are people like that. But I'm thinking of a couple incidences on our pilgrimage. We had an absolutely wonderful time with a number of Christians. And I'm thinking of this priest that we met who was in a monastery that was connected with Mother Teresa. And we went in to admire a statue there and ended up spending, an hour and a half or 2 hours with him. And he was just a Jesus bhakti. He was an Indian living now in Nazareth. And he was a Jesus bhakti. And all he wanted to talk about was Jesus. And his face just shone. And he was very, very high soul. And we just came in and enjoyed this love fest with him and his love for Jesus. Now, I don't know what would have happened if we'd said, well, actually, we follow a teacher from, you know, has ties with India and this, you know, guru lineage and start talking more about our thing. And it wasn't that we were trying not to. It's just that he was so full of it, it almost like there was no space for that. And there was no reason
also,
for it.
Also, he resisted talking that way, too. You could tell that he'd been through this enough that he knew that when you ask, well, which relationship or which church do you go to? Isn't a good question sometimes with people if you don't know them. Because it's challenging. And he was refusing to do that part of it. He was saying, no, this, the only thing I can see it in your eyes, you know, he was telling us, you know, I can see that this is wonderful. You really enjoy this. If you love Mother Teresa and Jesus, that's all I need to know. God will sort that stuff out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the other people we talked to weren't that way, were they?
No, but some were.
Yeah.
Some were, and we had this very, you know, very positive feeling. Except there was always that sense that if we actually talked about what we believed, they would close down and kind of go away. Mm-hmm. And I just, recently was, so it took me back to what mother's daughter had gone through. Recently was hearing this woman talking about a particular prominent figure right now who is a Hindu. And she was just spewing terrible stuff, that he maybe sounds good, but he's really, that's how that Satan gets in and talks you into listening to him, because he can sound very good and sound like he's correct, but he's really sowing this evilness. And it was not nice. And
that's a
her face
sad
was
position
not shining.
Yeah.
And it was, and it kind of reminded me, unfortunately, because I was wanting to see everybody in a loving way and thinking that they love Christ the way I love Christ and I love God, and we're all the same, kind of. Mm-hmm. And but to see that part, and there is that in every religion. It's not just, I mean, if you see see some of the Hindus that have attacked Christians or the Muslims that have attacked Hindus, there's that in every religion. But it's too bad that we can't all be in that bhakti state where we all just realize how much we love God and that we have all that in common. And so, would be it so.
Think about David when he would meet people who were lovers of God, and he would never bring up his specific beliefs.
Right.
He only
asked.
Only someone asked. So he would just go there with them wherever they were at.
Yeah.
That's
what we've done too. That's what we've done. But there is that, I'm just saying that there's that knowledge that if one was to, it perhaps would close people down a bit more. So it's better just to enjoy that love of God together.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no one owns Jesus, and no one owns that Bible. It's a wonderful book. We all understand it differently, but that there is only one interpretation is really just completely anti-human. It's not. There's no experience with human beings that would ever have you believe that there's only one way of interpreting words like that. And then they complicate things by saying that it's the word of God, as though other things are not. And so it's raised up in a way, and it becomes almost an idol in itself, unfortunately.
The thing that I have had a challenge with is when, like, if I'm talking to a coworker and saying, when my uncle died, was he a Christian? And I said, no, at least not outwardly. One lady I said to, I said, you never know, and if it's like, that's a shame,
right.
Like, because they're not going to heaven.
Right.
And like, it's hard not to say, like, I really don't agree with that when they're talking about your own family member who's a really good person and, or whatever, but they say it.
Well, and think about what a terrible thing is that they're doing if they really believe what they believe. Like, they're asking you, like, well, did he get new shoes in time for the trip? Like, guess he's damned to hell for the rest of eternity.
Well, but they don't say that. They don't say that, but...
Right.
But they think it.
But their belief, a lot of the people that are the... I'll just call them the Linden Christians, believe that, if you believed in Jesus and if you were a Christian, then you're going to heaven. And if you weren't, then you're going to the other place.
Yeah.
And I don't even, I don't know what the truth is, because I don't know, like, I can't read everybody's karma and know what kind of life they led, but
yeah.
there's one resident who's in hospice, and he is a Jehovah's Witness, and they don't believe in heaven at all. And so the only thing I think to myself is, well, he has a, you know, he's going to be pleasantly surprised. But I can't talk to him about heaven or, you know, any kind of comfort in that way.
Yeah.
So it's very interesting. What my one coworker said, her neighbor had just died. And I said, oh, I'm sorry about, you know, you losing your neighbor, because, you know, we get, well, they had lived next door to this man for many years. And she said, well, you know, he was a Christian, so, you know, that's, you know. And then, you know, it's just like, oh, yes, of course. You know, like, I don't know what to say. I just try to go, oh.
Praise God.
But they know, like, they kind of know that there's something different about me, but they know that I believe in God. They know that I sing the hymns and that I love on the residents and I pray with people. But they can kind of tell there's something, you know, something different about Michelle. Michelle talks about meditating, and that's kind of odd, you know. But that's about all I... But yeah, it's just hard to...
So I don't know if anyone has ever seen the movie The Apostle with Robert Duvall.
Yeah.
But in that, at the beginning of it, he's a tough cookie. You know, he's very much devoted to God, but he leads not the perfect life. And he's a preacher. And it's a wonderful story. He tells it beautifully. I mean, the movie is really, really excellent. In the beginning, there's a car wreck, and he goes to the – pulls over and he runs to the car, and there's several other cars, and he's by himself with the driver of the car. He's sitting in the seat belts, but the young man is about to die. He's really badly banged up. And Robert Duvall's character can see that, and he just says, he basically repeats things that he knew as in this boy's own upbringing, because he was from the South. He could predict that he would have been a Bible believer. And so he gave him all that comfort, I was thinking. And then he goes back to the car. What made me think of this? To his mother sitting in the car, and she's waiting patiently. He says, there's going to be news in heaven tonight. Because he saved this boy. Yeah. Because, and I think he got him to say something of, you know, some article of faith that he believes in Jesus and all of that. There's news in heaven tonight. There's going to be big news. I've always loved that. That we have, you know, it's presumptive, but it is, what a wonderful thought. Doesn't matter whether it's true. He really did give the boy, and in the movie, he gives him comfort. It is not like he's just browbeating him by any means. It's quite sweet. But he's still fairly full of himself. Such an interesting character that he's created in that movie. Well, we're all trying to figure this world out, and we have different ways of approaching it and understanding it. And much of what we're taught as children is what we take with us, and it stays with us long over a long time.
Just according to like Mother's and David's teachings, that most everybody is going to heaven, whether they believed or not. Isn't that?
Well, I mean, everyone goes back to God. We all return to God. So in that sense, certainly. But it could be that you're going to be in hell for... The point of the heaven and hell is that they're not the end of the line. They're not end points. They are transitional points. And so, yeah, I mean, you can... Exactly. You have to work things out. You're not going to be in heaven forever, and you're not going to be in hell forever. You're going. We are looking to go to not a heavenly abode so much that, you know, in the Western sense of a place where everybody's peaceful and happy and all that, which is fine, but it's awfully boring too. So it's just simply not right. We are always looking for the next. This isn't a human thing. This is God. He's looking for some new thing to bring to the world, always. And so when you get into heaven, if you do go there, and we all have relatives who probably do, who do go to heaven, but they don't stay there. They realize, oh, there's so much more. Why was I so limiting in it? And then, of course, they would deal with, well, who would ever be advising them from a higher perspective, teaching them. So they would then choose to do it again. You know, if we come back to this world, I mean, I know I always laugh when I think of David like this, because he always made it so that you didn't really want to come back. But because he'd say, do you want to go through junior high again? So,
that's what he'd tell us when we'd be resistant about meditating.
Exactly.
You want to do junior high again? Yeah, yeah. Get done this
yeah.
Time.
Don't you want to get through this? So ever the teacher, you know, he's... And the guru pushes and prods, and so. I forget where I was going with that. But it is something that this life is here for, this whole world is here for God's reasons. Does it make me complacent or not? Desirous of, I think for myself, it's just that everything that's happened to me, everything that's important to me in the spirit, I've not sought in the way that I think when I do seek things, the actual result is always different than how I imagined it. So I just don't really want to imagine it so much as I do want to settle in my mind that this is all, it's all okay, it's all right. And to feel that, and to feel that bliss that comes with that. I'm willing to go through what Mother wants me to go through. I'm more than willing. But I'm not gonna fake it. I'm not going to think that I can bring it on myself so much as I can just align myself with God's will. I love what Abraham Lincoln said. We don't want to so much have God on our side as to know that we're on God's side. And that's a brilliant, really deep understanding of the spiritual path, the religious path.
I saw one of the church signs that said, "If God is your co-pilot, switch seats."
Exactly. Well, that's the teaching of the Bhagavad Gita, isn't it? Yeah. Krishna is this, he's the charioteer, isn't he? Mm. And just to have faith that God's doing what he's supposed to do. But that feeling of peace and love that pours through you when you are in that blissful state is just something that it might be a reward in itself, it might be anything, but it doesn't make me anxious in that state. I never feel anxious that I've got to do something or measure up or attain something. And these
David
states,
explains that's our natural state.
Yeah.
That's our completely natural state.
It is. Exactly. Yeah, well, he was living in it. He knew that And Mother said that the term is Sahaja Samadhi means natural, and that she had attained that state. You know, in watching that video of David that I sent out yesterday's, he's so so filled with joy, and you know, he wasn't so interested in teaching or explaining things as he was mulling things over. When he says the ohms at the very beginning, he says afterwards, well, I didn't know how that was going, if anything would come out. So. But you can feel that wellspring of joy and peace in your body, pervades your body. You know, this is the thing that Kriya gives us too, is this is focus on the spine and the brain. There's a tremendous benefit to meditation, does this too, drawn within. And Kriya really gives you the ability to focus on the spine and brain in a way that you can generate that current at just thinking about it and feel it going through your spine, your brain, continuously, because it's the natural way. It's the way that the body wants, that the mind wants, that the soul wants to operate this body. So it's a tremendous teaching. And Papa teaches us the mantra does the same thing. It's a pranayama to speak. And then he tells you to take it in and then mouth the words and then go within mentally. But by that time, you've done it enough that the body responds automatically. The mind responds automatically. And that current begins to flow of its own will, of its own volition. And our lineage through Master simply teaches a different way for different people, perhaps more for the Western people and the people in India who were of a different type too, because India has plenty of people to go to for learning a mantra, if that's your predilection. That really is something you benefit from. You will be drawn to that person. And there's room for other ways. And so we, by our destiny, are learning a technique developed in India a long time ago. And it's just another path. But Mother brought both in, of course, too. She taught us the Ra mantra as well. So for her disciples, people can do either one and gain benefit and try out both. It all comes together at the end, or the new beginning.
I was just thinking that it's very difficult going through the days. Not always. It's such a myriad of adventures, good and challenging. Mm. But we love it. We wouldn't have it any other way. You're reaching for the very highest. You're reaching for perfection. And you fall short all the time. Well, I'm speaking for myself, but you love it so much. You are so thankful for the
what we've
the
been
path.
Taught. Yeah.
So thankful.
Something I've been thinking a lot about lately is, you know, I just think these St. Paul letters, and when I learn more about him, that the people receiving these letters from him, he would sit down and write these letters in great detail, addressing some issue, but also teaching the highest thoughts. We cherish these tapes of David's and others, and the things that they wrote too. But that in those days, this was so precious, these things, and when they first read them, it must have been glorious to share these scriptures, these letters. It's just coming clear to me that that time when he was traveling around, that the things that the people in succeeding generations had was these incredible letters of him, the knowledge of his certain knowledge of people's communities and what they're going through, and how he taught people to go through it and deal with it. He resolved problems. And so the Gospels are different. They're telling a story, and they're really wonderfully done too, but they are telling a different story than what Paul did. And many of you have probably felt too that we're living, you know, a not Christian world, but a Paulinian world. And there's some people criticize that for that reason, but he was a tremendous, tremendous, great soul. And those who knew him, got that directly. And they must have cherished these letters to show that after the master's gone, listen to what he told me. Listen to what he wrote to our community. He left so much. I don't know why I've been bringing that up here exactly now, but it's been on my mind so much and so kind of thrilling to see that, how things work. Because I think about the videos that we have of David, and one video of Mother's, unfortunately, and all the tapes, and how rich these things are. It's very rich food. We could have 5 of these from each of them, and that's all. And we would be very amazed, and we have hundreds. So will these voices be heard down through the ages? That's what we live in a time when that's what we're seeing, where people can, that's not like being in the same room with them, but it's better than just what has been written, to hear them and then to see them. So this is an interesting time. The ability to write and read in the days of Christ and Paul was a tremendous state to be in, to have something to teach with. And what God must be doing with this modern age is laying the groundwork for a great movement of consciousness through and recording of it. With the Bible, there are some of those things claimed to be written by Paul or Peter, and the Gospels too, probably weren't. And there's some mischief in that too, having an axe to grind with the Jews or some of these things of a more negative nature. But in the midst of all of that, there's these things that are self-evident. The wonder of reading someone who's living the life that Paul was, and enthralling so many people with this new message. But this must be what God is doing. That this is just the beginning. Mother always said that we are the pioneers. And there's much to go through, not just for us, but for the world, of course.
I found myself wondering recently about, you know, I was thinking about this lovely reading room and meditation room that you guys are going to build at your new house, and thinking about our group, and, you know, we're all, many of us are older, are getting older, and I was like, who are the new ones going to be?
Master said,
few of us have kids, but many of our kids are not really on the path.
Master had a song, devotees may come and devotees may go. We needn't concern ourselves with it. We can wonder about it, but it really isn't our job to do so much that, of course it's our job to do. But if God doesn't bring them, He will do so. But if He doesn't, you know, these things, everything comes to an end, you know, has a beginning and an end. So if God doesn't want to keep this going, we can't keep it going. And if God wants it to go, we can't stop it.
Sure, reflect better on God if He did keep it going. To quote David. Quoting.
Well, it just makes me think about the, I mean, we've talked about it before, but the various saints that have been gone back to not being known at all, even that that saint that went around practicing the presence, the Russian saint, and look how that book just took off after a certain point, and it was very well known. And I'm thinking of that Lebanese saint, Jill, that we wrote about on our pilgrimage, and then you had a book, and he's become, you saw him everywhere around the Mediterranean, saw pictures of him, and he was known during his lifetime, but then I wonder if he went into a period where he was only still known by that, you know, his small village and stuff, and now his face is everywhere through the Mediterranean. So we don't know about our masters, and they, it could be take off right within our lifetime, and it could kind of just be very much almost under the surface for a century and then come out. We just don't know. It's,
well, the
Christendom, it certainly didn't spread like wildfire at first.
Go ahead, Josh.
Yeah, it doesn't really matter because Jesus is coming back here really soon. So,
that's right.
Just want to let you guys know.
That's right. He's always coming back.
I was thinking, too, about all the masters, the highly evolved souls on this planet right now, our lineage uppermost, but who are bringing messages of unification, because there's so much suffering on this planet right now, everywhere, that we're bound to come round and, you know, come together rather than separate more. That's my take anyway.
You know, it's true, but it may take until the Satya Yuga too. So, in other words, it's certainly true. And Jesus is coming back, and He's going to come back after that. But, yeah. So this is why it's so important to find the inner peace within ourselves to the extent we can, to not let the outside world, when we're disappointed with our predictions on how things are going to be wonderful, that we just must realize that We need to develop that capability to weather the storm, whether this happens or not.
I was hopeful that the pandemic would bring everyone together.
Mm-hmm.
But that didn't happen.
No, it didn't. Well, we're looking for outside signs and wonders. And we need the signs and wonders are there. But we have to look within to see them.
Travis just resurrected from the dead. What more do we want? I mean, if we don't see the miracles all around us, it's our fault, not God's. So it's
no, I see
the sunset and the sunrise, and God says, "Is this not enough for you? I make it different every day."
Even makes angels in the clouds for me to see.
That's very nice, yeah.
Big doves.
Yeah.
All kinds of.
No, that's a good exercise to do, isn't it?
Yeah.
To let your mind roam in the higher realms, and then it imprints on the clouds and all around you. Mm. I've seen words form on the ground. I've seen words form in force.
I also saw an outstretched hand in the clouds.
Oh,
recently.
Is it? That's thrilling. Wow.
Just, you know, and it was only there for...
Yeah, they're always just a short time.
The next time I looked up, it had changed so that it didn't no longer look like a hand, but it was just the side, like a side view of a hand with a thumb.
Life is a Rorschach test. To a great extent. And people can point to things and show us that what we think is something wonderful is something bad. But we need to train the mind, because that person bringing that up is in within ourselves, of course. We need to focus on that which brings that peace and that bliss. Even in tiny steps. It's not a state that you get so much as it is a way. It's a way of constantly guiding the mind. And you can feel it thrill through your body.
But it becomes a state eventually.
It does.
Yeah.
It becomes what looks like a state. Because.
It becomes effortless.
It becomes, when it's at that point, yeah. Yeah. But even then, you know, Papa talked about in 1951 or 2, I think, in the Gospel, that he felt like a large, ripe fruit. After he'd been through what all he had done for 30 years, there was obviously he was monitoring some change, some aspect of himself. So you're right that he attained the state of Sahaja Samadhi. And I don't mean to misunderstand or say something incorrectly, but that there's a continuous flow and a path that we tread.
I think what you're getting at is that it's not a steady state, it's a expanding.
Right.
David described it as just the beginning.
Yeah.
Just beginning to explore the body of God.
Yeah. Well, his mother said too, you know, it's some mysterious things she said, so many of them, but that no one can have complete God realization. Only that is only God. But you can have your realization of your oneness with that. And she used to talk about, when I stand on the earth, I'm in touch with the whole earth. So, yeah. Let's say Mother's final closing prayer. Mother calls it the prayer of perfection. So please pray with me. O Heavenly Father.
O Heavenly Father.
Divine Mother.
Divine Mother.
I feel the wonder and the beauty. Of thy glorious presence.
Of thy glorious presence.
In every part of my being.
In every part of my being.
My heart is bursting with my love for thee.
My heart is bursting with love for thee.
I kneel in adoration at thy feet. And surrender myself to thee. I feel the power of thy perfection. Surging in every cell of my body. My mind and my intelligence. Are radiant with thy healing light. My soul is filled with the ecstasy and bliss. Of my communion with thee. I and my Father are one. Blessed Spirit, I am he.
Peace.
Bliss.
Amen.
Amen.